Sometimes we feel completely alone. It's like nobody understands us. But hang on, Jesus is someone who understands us better than we even understand ourselves. Jesus speaks to fishermen by giving them a miraculously huge catch of fish. So how does he speak to the likes of thee and me? Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and welcome again to the program as we take another look today at signs, wonders, and miracles from a different perspective. Of course, the fishing that I'm thinking of is quite different to the sort of fishing that Jesus was thinking of. I'm thinking of one guy at the end of a wharf, dangling a line into the water, sitting around doing nothing, waiting for fish to bite. It's a very 20th century Western view of fishing. But when Jesus spoke to his disciples about fishing, he had a different picture altogether in mind. A few of them were professional fishermen. Now, early on, when Jesus was deciding who his 12 disciples would be, he went out and called them to follow him, quite different to the usual rabbi. People would apply to follow rabbis, a bit like applying to study at a university. Some would be accepted and others wouldn't. But no, Jesus called people to follow him, and right there, down on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, is where he called the first of them. A little later, he performed his first fishing miracle. Let's have a look. Luke chapter 5. Verses 1 to 11. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake. But the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out from the land a little, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out your net into the deep and let your nets down for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and didn't catch anything, but at your word, I'll let down the nets." And when they'd done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken, and so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching men." And when they brought their boats to land, these fishermen left everything and followed Jesus. If you're a fisherman, that's a pretty powerful miracle, right? We could talk about that one till the cows come home as fishermen. But it's his second fishing miracle that I really want to focus on today, because it speaks to his disciples and to you and me in quite a different way. It comes after Jesus' resurrection. The disciples have headed out from Jerusalem, from the tumultuous happenings of the Passover and the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus, back to what they know, back to Galilee, back to fishing. Let's pick it up, John chapter 21. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." And they said to him, "Hey, we'll come out with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples didn't know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" And they answered him, "No." So he said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you'll find some." So they did. They cast the net to the right side of the boat. And now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved, therefore, said to Peter, "Hey, it's the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the full net of fish, for they were not far from the land, about 100 yards off. When they got onto the land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid out on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you've just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast with me." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he'd been raised from the dead. Now, the first time they saw this particular miracle is the time that we read earlier in Luke chapter 5. That was early on in their relationship with Jesus. They barely knew him. And the power of that miracle convinced them to follow him. They dropped their nets, they left their boats, they left their businesses, they left their livelihoods, they left their families, because they were convinced by the power of that first fishing miracle that there was something truly special and powerful about Jesus. Maybe you've had that initial experience with Jesus, that time when you first came to believe in him. Somehow he'd had a powerful impact on your life. Maybe you went to a meeting and heard about him. Maybe a friend told you about him. Maybe you heard about him in the media. Wherever, whatever, that first initial powerful experience convinced you to follow Jesus. But then, I'm not sure if you've noticed this, then the initial first blush and the euphoria wears off. Then it's back to the grind, back to life, back to all the ups and downs that we travel through. And then believing in Jesus takes on a whole new dimension. It's all about believing in him with your life, trusting him with your life, following him with your life. And that entails determination, sacrifice, pain, persistence, all those things we wish it didn't, but it does. That's where these disciples were second time round, second fishing miracle. They'd seen their Jesus, this miracle-working preacher and pastor and prophet, Jesus, arrested, tried, beaten, and nailed to a cross. Okay, they'd seen him risen again too, but truly that didn't compute. It didn't really make sense to them. They were reeling. They'd been through the emotional wringer, and they were wrung out. So Jesus speaks to them through this miracle they've seen once before, back in the early days, when it was exciting instead of terrifying to follow Jesus. He reminds them, there they are out on the water and some guy on the shore whom they don't recognize tells them to throw the net out on the other side of the boat. They do. The catch is enormous and all of a sudden they realize, they remember, this is Jesus. Peter strips off, swims ashore. The rest of the guys get back as quickly as they can. What's Jesus doing? Well, he's cooking them breakfast. I love that. Jesus, tried, beaten, crucified, dead, risen Jesus, the Son of God, the creator of the universe, speaks to these fishermen through the sign of this great catch and by cooking them a barbecued breakfast on the beach. What's that saying to us today? Quite simply this, that the risen Jesus is a saviour both of power and of love. He reaches into our lives and speaks to us in ways that we can understand. To the fishermen, he speaks through fish. He does it with miracle-working power, and he does it with tender, intimate love. Imagine Jesus reaches out to you in this way. He calls you to the breakfast on the beach after you've been through the ringer of the last 3.5 years with him. Just imagine how deeply that would impact you for the rest of your life. Jesus, the God of power, the God of love, the Savior who reaches out and touches us in the most special, tender way, in a way that only he could. My friend, that's exactly what Jesus is like. Power and love equals Jesus. And that's the Jesus you and I can expect him to be as we reach out to him, expecting him to be the same Jesus, the same Savior, the same gentle teacher, shepherd, pastor, fisherman, miracle worker, as the one we read about in the Bible. Here's what we discover. We discover that he is the same, only this time we learn the Bible truth about Jesus with our own life experience of him. And there's no better way to learn that. The Word of God is alive and active, amen, with the power to transform your life, to help you be all that God made you to be. And that's what the Fresh Daily Devotional is all about. It's completely free, and I'd love to send it to you. Each day, you'll receive a life-changing scripture together with some words of inspiration, hope, and encouragement from me, delivered right to your inbox where you can choose to read, listen, or watch the daily video. It's completely up to you. Remember, God's Word is the power to change, and it's fresh for you each day. You can subscribe to receive your free daily devotional at freshdevotional.org. And as a bonus, we'll also send you a free copy of my ebook, How Can I Hear God Speak to Me? My prayer is that your heart will be touched and transformed as you draw ever closer to Jesus through the power of his word. Again, that web address is freshdevotional.org. Hey, God bless you. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again same time tomorrow with a different perspective.